Our children in church have dowels with red ribbons, tea lights, and glowing tongue flame cups above their heads. Not bad for a reenactment of the Holy Spirit's descent on the early church. We also had amazing music with the flute, the timpani, our voices. Not bad, especially since we frozen chosen Presbyterians tend to do things decently and in order, and are not quite the speaking in tongues, falling out, fire-breathing Christians that our charismatic brothers and sisters in the Christian faith might be. Maybe because it is that I am temporarily living in the theater district, but I like to picture what kind of production the first Christian Pentecost must have been. The Jewish festival of the wheat harvest, known as the Pentecost because it came 50 days after the Passover, had everybody together. Can you imagine sitting, going through the rituals of the holiday when a rush of wind fills the gathering place? Can you imagine the hairs on your arms and on the back of your neck standing on end at that moment of such strangeness? And right when you are trying to discern if something funky is going on with the weather or whether you're going crazy with your imagination, noise fills the air. You look around and see people's tongues and lips moving excitedly. Sounds are coming out, and you recognize the sounds as some of the voices that you've heard before in the marketplace from the different vendors. You're so amazed to watch those around you that it takes a moment before you realize your own mouth is moving. While you know you are not speaking your mother tongue, something inside you causes you to understand that you are testifying to God's amazing power and deeds. Onlookers gather closer. You see in their faces varied skin tones and on their bodies different styles of dress. They are Parthians, Egyptians, Arabs, Cappadocians, Libyans, and still more. Yet, despite these different cultures, you see their eyes widen in recognition of what you and others are saying. Indeed, it would make a powerful production. My ears always perk up at the description of the various productions around me in the theater district, and I like to hear about upcoming shows. Driving into work the other day, I heard a radio show talking about the new Cirque du Soleil show, Paramore, which will be Cirque's first attempt at a Broadway musical. The story described the choice to switch acrobats into actors' roles. As one acrobat takes the place of a regular actor, she dangles by the ankle. She tosses up like a rag doll, up and down, down and up. It's simple and very beautiful. Acrobats should function like songs. Shana Carroll, who designs acrobatic acts for the show, says, just like in a musical, if someone breaks into song and dance, we feel it is the only way they can express that emotion is breaking out into song and dance, as if it's essential. We want to feel that with the acrobatics, that we have to present this moment acrobatically because it is just the absolute best possible way to express what's happening. A regular musical asks the audience to accept the ridiculous idea that people spontaneously sing their feelings. And I will say, when my daughter has seen musicals before, she always asks, how do they know to do that? In Paramore, they sing their feelings and they leap and tumble and fly their feelings through the air. In thinking about Pentecost, I can't help but see in Pentecost the gift of the Holy Spirit bubbling up so powerfully that, like the acrobats in Paramore, we buy into the ridiculous idea that we Christians would have a holy wind to lead us. tongues of fire on each of our heads. And further than that, act upon that spirit set within us as if there were no other possible way to express ourselves. Unfortunately, it is not always so simple. It is easier to stay connected with our smartphones than to connect with the Holy Spirit's whispers and winds. While the Pentecost church is one that welcomes many different languages, we often seek out those who are most similar to us as a condition to walking together in faith. As we are seeing in the ESL Bible study that meets after worship and is reading through the book of Acts, it doesn't take long for the Pentecost community itself, the group of early followers that once sold all their belongings and shared everything in common, to stop with the sharing of resources and breaking of bread and making sure everyone had their fill, and instead preferring one group over the other. They discovered conflict and fracture among themselves. They had to grapple with the idea of inclusion. And poor Stephen, who tried to build a case for the inclusion of Gentiles into the followers of Jesus' way, was stoned to death by those who wanted to conserve the old ways. Change did indeed happen eventually, but not without cost. And those of us who would follow the Holy Spirit today do not always find that this connection with the third person of the Trinity bubbles up so naturally. Let me tell you a story about taking a high school youth group I served when I was an associate pastor in Montclair, New Jersey, to a week-long mission trip in Tennessee to help rebuild houses. Now, these kids were smart kids and considered themselves to be urban sophisticates. Since they already knew so much, they had many ideas before they even set foot in Tennessee about what the Tennessee people would be like, which was based more on caricatures of Southerners and country folk as seen in pop culture than it was based on actual relationships. And as a native Georgian, I get a little defensive when people knock on Southerners. Our youth went on a mission trip every year. The previous year, we had been to Peru. We were asked to work alongside a group, another youth group, that was a rural group from Kentucky. The Kentucky youth group had been saving money for 4 years to take this week-long mission trip one state away. Our group had a typically Northeasterner reticence to show outward displays of religiosity, while the Kentucky group proudly wore Bible t-shirts and sprinkled words of faith into the cadence of their everyday conversations. When we were told during the orientation that each of our groups would be in charge of leading the evening worship service at least once during the week, my youth, who are sons and daughters of overachievers themselves, quickly caucused and decided that they would go later in the week to see what the other group prepared first, so that they could match the expectation. But the week went well, and as our kids worked side by side with the Kentucky youth group, they learned a number of things. They not only picked up power tools and other carpentry skills, they also learned the value of hard physical work. When it came time for my youth to lead worship, they actually planned a really beautiful mountaintop reflection service at sunset. During the prayer of confession, they asked worshipers to take scraps of wood brought back from the work site and write the name of a burden or injustice that they would like God's help and mercy in releasing. Then worshipers were instructed to throw the scraps of wood into the fire and watch their burdens smolder up in the winnowing flame. Our campers modeled what to do. I burn greed. I burn racism. I burn injustice. They called out while their scrap wood crackled in the fire. Cat catching the spirit of confession, the Kentucky youth came up to the fire one by one and enthusiastically called out, "I burn friendship. I burn love. I burn peace." Can they do that? One of my teenage boys anxiously whispered to me as he watched friendship, love, and peace mistakenly disappear in smoke. It is hard to be a Pentecost church. We don't always speak the same language. It is hard to be in touch with the Holy Spirit when so much competes for our attention. But take heart, Christian friends. The Holy Spirit is not a gift we can earn or achieve despite our most earnest efforts. I find hope that although the Holy Spirit may seem the most elusive, she comes in a powerful, embodied presence. The Spirit comes in wind. In Hebrew, the word is ruach. And that word simultaneously means wind and breath and spirit. God's spirit is as close as our every breath. The spirit also comes in fiery tongues, not used for adding insult or injury to others, but used to tell of God's glory. And as Jesus says in John's gospel, we already know the Spirit because the Spirit, Jesus says, is in you and among you, just as the Spirit is in Jesus. Often in our world, we tend to separate. Perhaps it is the Greek heritage of Plato that even finds its way, trickles in to the Greek New Testament. Or also the Eastern tradition of yin and yang. We see body as separate from spirit. Some philosophies encourage the denial of the body to access a greater spirit nature. And then you look around and you find we separate everything. Earth from heaven, male from female, black from white, citizen from undocumented, able-bodied and handicapped, the list goes on. And we find ways to favor one over the other. And in the other's diminished role, we dehumanize, degrade, and even demonize. But the Holy Spirit came into the flesh of human bodies. It showed us that each one of us has the capacity to house the holy. It reminded us that God is not far from us at all, even as we go about our ordinary human lives. And that holy presence isn't just reserved for one group of people. It is given to the whole people of God. In Acts, the passage makes clear that every language, every nation known to the gathered group was represented in the gift of the Holy Spirit. The whole people of God were spirited. We are a holy, spirited people. There is a profound implication for how we treat ourselves and treat one another when we consider that we are housing the divine. Like the enlightened ones in Eastern religions, we can imagine one another as painted with flames above our heads. And as funny as the children looked walking around with the tissue flames, they were getting the message across to us. Maybe we will not break out spontaneously into song or dance or acrobatics to convey our body-spirit connectedness. But living in a way that welcomes the Holy Spirit in ourselves and in one another is a pretty fine intention to guide our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.